Alexander Borodin wrote the melodies for a number of memorable standards in the Great American Songbook, including "And This Is My Beloved," "Baubles, Bangles, and Beads," and "Stranger in Paradise." And that's because the fact that he was, and that's a surprise, because he actually was a Russian research chemist by trade, and he died suddenly at the age of 53 in 1887. The last time his only opera, Prince Igor, was performed by the Metropolitan Opera was in 1917, and it was staged in Italian. Now, 97 years later, it's back at the Met, only in its original Russian this time. In his review in the New York Times, Anthony Tomasini described this new production of Prince Igor, created by Russian director Dmitry Chernyakov, as wonderfully staged, dreamlike, wrenchingly human, and viscerally theatrical, and he had special praise for its impressive cast, headed by bass baritone Ildar Abdrazakov, and he's in the title role, and also mezzo-soprano Anita Rochvilishvili as Konchakovna, the daughter of the Khan, and they join me now. Dobry din, and I hope I didn't mangle your names too much.
No, you was perfect.
Yes, I was perfect, actually.
Now, Ilda, the best-known music from Prince Igor, the Polyptian Dances with Chorus, was featured prominently during the opening ceremony for the Sochi Olympics. Is Prince Igor performed a lot in Russia?
Yes, they perform a lot. All Russian theaters in the repertoire, we have Prince Igor.
Yeah. But, Anita, not this production. This production
is new. It's completely new, this production. Dmitry Chernyakov made this production. The idea of making this production was for Metropolitan Opera. And, yeah, it's first time we are doing this here in New York.
Well, I was thinking about you and Sochi, because you're from Tbilisi, Georgia.
Yes.
Although it's no longer a part of Russia, it's quite near to Sochi, isn't it?
Georgia, yeah, and you know, Sochi once was a part of Georgia long time ago, and the name is completely Georgian, and we are there, we were always close, and a lot of Georgian peoples are going, of course, there now, right now and before.
Did you grow up speaking Georgian or Russian?
Both languages.
And now what? Because you also speak Italian. And,
no, I speak
and English.
Italian, English, Georgian, Russian, and some French.
Ilda, you're from Ufa, Russia. I probably mispronounced.
Actually, it's Boshkortostan. It's a part of Russia.
Yeah,
it's
no, I know. That is
Republic,
Russia.
Yes. And I speak also Bashkirian in Russian language, too.
Now, Borodin bases opera on the tale of Igor's campaign, which is a 12th century epic poem that takes place in northern Ukraine. But would you have known that poem when you were growing up? Is that something they teach in school, the tale of Igor's campaign?
Yeah, written by Pushkin. It's Slova o polku Igorevi.
Well, Pushkin did a version of it?
Yes, exactly, because the original one, we don't know who wrote it, but there is a Pushkin one, that we learn also in Georgia.
He explained the history for us. For the children.
It's an interesting story in that it ends in defeat. It's not the sort of thing that people will usually want to remember.
Oh, yes.
There are only four or five Russian operas that have become part of the repertory outside of Russia. Eugene Onegin, which was also at the Met earlier this year.
Yes.
Queen of Spades, they're both by Tchaikovsky.
Beautiful.
Boris Godunov and Hovanshchina. Mussorgsky, the Love of Three Oranges by Prokofiev.
Yes.
Why do you think some of the others, like Rimsky-Korsakov's The Invisible City of Kitej or The Tsar's Bride, aren't performed more? Is it because Russian is just hard for...
Sadko also is a beautiful opera, Sadko by Rimsky-Korsakov. And we have many beautiful and
amazing
not
music.
Only musical... And also the historical operas.
Yes, that's like, true. That's
and
true.
We have beautiful productions too. Yeah. If you can see on the DVD or in internet, you can find many beautiful, really old
and, you
productions
know,
opera.
Yeah, and the thing about Russian music that it's always beautiful, of course, and it's always so human, like you said before. like New York Times said about our Prince Igor, the story is happening on stage. It's always so human. It's always really close to our hearts. And of course, it's always sad and always dramatic. The Russian operas, opera in general, you know, yeah. It's always dramatic with really bad at the end. And well, yeah, and that will be, actually, you spoke about Tars Bride. That is one of the best Rimsky-Korsakov operas. I hope they will do it here, some of these operas that you said.
Well, most people who will be seeing Prince Igor at the Metropolitan Opera have never seen it before. And there are all sorts of reasons given. It's a difficult opera because the character of Prince Igor is not easy to get to know, but also because the storyline can be a bit confusing. And is that because Borodin never finished it?
Yeah, probably because he never finished it, because there was a lot of different composers who, at the end, who finished this opera.
Rimsky-Korsakov, you know? Yes. And there was no Glazunov.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the problem was from the beginning that Borodin didn't make the, you know, the scenes. It wasn't like the first scene. There was whole story made together, and there had to figure out how it works from the beginning to the end, and that was a little difficult, actually.
So your director Dmitry Chernyakov decided to move things around. He has tweaked the plot a little bit, cut some things out, discarded some of the things that Rimsky-Korsakov and Glazunov put in.
Yes.
Is that rather unusual? We get that sort of thing with Shakespeare sometimes, but is that unusual in the opera world? I can't imagine somebody doing that to La Boheme or Carmen.
Yeah, of course. You cannot do it this with traditional opera. In this case, it's easier because Borodin never finished this opera. And actually, we have different versions of music and of scenario in generally. And yeah, that because Chernyakov could create something. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We
you've called him crazy. But I'm sure you meant that. I'm sure you meant that
oh
as a compliment.
God. What?
he's a crazy. He's a, he has the many
crazy ideas.
But it's nice ideas, yes, it's a lot. But sometimes it's difficult to moving on stage, singing.
Yeah, of course.
And working in the same time, you can. So you singing, you put the water.
Water on you.
The lot of movements there, and.
So the acting, he wants you to really do a lot of action while you're acting.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about him that he's always trying to bring something real on stage, you know, the real emotions. He wants you to cry if it's something to cry, you know. And, of course, it's difficult. But the thing that I have to say, it's my second time I'm working with him. And the thing that is amazing, and then when you are working with Dmitry Chernyakov, you cannot just think about singing. You are acting. You're doing whatever you feel, and you're doing it on stage. It's amazing.
Well, Borodin intended this as an epic, but Chernyakov has made it into a kind of a psychological study of a man of action who is in a state of emotional and moral crisis because he's been defeated in battle. And, Ildar, you have to get that across, not just through your singing, but through your acting.
Yeah, sometimes when you're acting, you have no time to
to think
about the vocally, you know, the notes, how high or low, or for the musically. So you just go and acting.
Do it.
Well, you are helped, I think, by amazing conducting, by, interestingly, an Italian conductor.
Gian Andrea Noseda.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned earlier that Prince Igor was performed at the Met in the early years of the 20th century
in Italian.
Now, both of you might have been very comfortable in that production. Both of you have sung a lot of Italian, haven't you?
But not in the Russian opera, you know. No, I just cannot sing it.
Ilda, you've done Mozart, Donizetti, Verdi.
Yeah.
I did Rossini,
Barber of Sevilla, in Russia. that was amazing. In Russian language.
Oh, you did it in
yes.
Russian. So it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
But this is the fourth new production you've been in at the Met since your debut 10 years ago, but only your second Russian role.
Yeah. It's my second Russian role. I don't know why. Maybe because it's my voice more for Italian and French repertoire. And now I think I thought the, now I can start to also sing a little bit of Russian repertoire. Not a lot, but now I'm thinking about Boris Godunov. Mm.
Your voice isn't the, what we usually associate with a bass baritone and Russian. Mm-hmm. The man who is playing the villain here has more of that old-fashioned Russian bass.
Yes.
He's wonderful, too.
He is.
His name is Mikhail Petrenko.
Yes.
And he plays the evil brother-in-law.
Prince Galinsky. Singer.
I've heard, Ildar, that you're going to be opening the next Met season in the title role of a new production of Mozart's Le Nozze di Figaro. So,
exactly.
Back to the Italians. Anita,
didn't
you study in Italy?
Yes. First in Georgia for 6 years in Conservatory of Tbilisi, and then 2 years in La Scala Academy.
Although you probably are best known for being in a French opera, Carmen.
yes, because I did it in 4 years. I did it more than 150 times.
You grew up in Georgia in the midst of war. I understand that your parents had dreams of careers in the arts, but they had to settle for other kinds of jobs.
Yes,
so how
of
did
course.
You wind up?
You know,
opera.
I was singing since I'm a little girl, and first I was singing jazz and pop music, and then when I was 17, we decided to try with opera because voice was really big. And I just started to prepare myself for conservatory. Then I did 6 years there, 2 years in academy. They took me in La Scala Academy the first year that I came for the auditions. And, it started there with audition for Maestro Baron Bohem, for Carmen and everything else. And now I'm right here.
And the one performance of Carmen we did together here.
Oh, yes.
You're going to be doing a Carmen together, aren't
you? Yes, again this fall.
Ildar, was Ufa a good place for an aspiring opera singer to grow up in? You grew up during the Soviet era when the training, I'm assuming, was different than it might be today.
Now is it different, of course, especially because now all the repertoire in Ufa opera we have in the language
original.
Mm-hmm. So I have so no time to go there to sing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I would like to go there and sing in my opera house where I grew up.
Well, you appeared in Prince Igor when you were 14 years old, but in a very different kind of role.
Yeah.
You were a spear carrier?
Tell that story. It was
about Prince Igor.
Yeah, about your first Prince Igor.
Yeah. So I was 14 years old, and I was there in the opera theater for first year, but not like singer, of course, like super. And I was...
You were cleaning up the place?
Cleaning up the place? Oh, story.
I was bodyguard of Prince Igor.
Wow.
Yeah.
But this is how many Russian language operas have you been in?
Actually, this one is my third one because I sung Evgeny Onegin, Olga's role when I was in conservatory. Then I did this fall. I did Tsar's Bride of Rimsky-Korsakov with Dmitri Chernyakov in Berlin Staatsoper, and this is my third Russian opera.
And all this indicates that you don't really have a home. You just have to go everywhere where there are opera companies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're pleased that you're both at the Met. And the critics have been unanimous in their praise.
Yes.
This probably will be the Prince Igor that we'll be seeing for years from now on.
Yes, of course.
And my great thanks
with
to
hope.
maybe with the two of you.
Oh, I know.
My great thanks to Ildar Abdurazakov, who is Prince Igor, in my mind anyway, and Anita Rochevelishvili.
Great.
Did that okay?
Great pronunciation, yes.
When is the next performance?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow evening. Please come because it's really interesting.
It's beautiful music. Yeah.
And the snow will put you in mind of Russia.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.